Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and the Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studio, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Caroline Fenton, Chase McCabe, we're out at Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena. Mississippi State and Florida underway, 36-26 at the half. Mississippi State is leading. We'll keep you updated on all the SEC tournament action. But now we chat with Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet and the 32 Thoughts podcast. Elliot, always appreciate you for joining us. But one of your 32 thoughts this week is that the LA Kings, you think, probably inquired about Predators netminder UC Saros. If you had to guess, put your mind in the mind of David Poile. What do you think David Poile's response was when the Kings inquired about UC Saros?
Back up the truck. That's what I'm betting the response was. Like, you know, Carolyn, first of all, it sounds fantastic in there. I'm really jealous of your setting. It's on radio. It sounds so good. But, you know, I think that when the Predators decided that they were going to sell, they made it very clear that three players were off limits. One was Roman Josi, one was Philip Forsberg, and the other was UC Saros. Now, just because you say someone is off limits doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to listen, and I might make a call. And, you know, the Kings, as everyone knows now, they made a goalie move. They traded Jonathan Quick, and they brought in Korpisalo from Columbus. But they have a long-term situation to figure out there. And I think they're going to try to do that this summer. And I think that they called and said, look, if we wanted to do this, what would it cost us? And I think Nashville made it very clear that to even think about it, it would be a huge, huge price, to the point where I think it's very unlikely that it happens.
I'm with you on that. I think that that is one of the no-nos, because UC Saros was on the no-no list. Elliot Friedman is with us. Looking at how the playoff picture is kind of shaking out, I think the Eastern Conference is fascinating. If you had to put your money on it today, the Boston Bruins or the field?
Oh, that's a great question. That is, you know, Carolyn, that's a great question. I love what the Bruins did at the deadline. I do. You know what? I normally wouldn't do this, but I'm saying Bruins. I thought they had a dynamite deadline, and I think it's going to take a superhuman effort to beat them over 7 games.
And that's coming from a guy that's based in Toronto. Wow.
Yeah.
Elliot Friedman.
It's okay. My neighbors hate me anyway, so, like, that's no problem.
Elliot Friedman here with us on Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. Elliot, it's Chase. Good to talk to you again. It's been a few weeks since I've gotten a chance to chat with you. But I got to ask you about all this potential expansion talk based off a John Buchagras tweet. And I know you talked about it a little bit in your column and your 32 thoughts about Atlanta and Houston potentially getting in the mix. Atlanta will be the third time around that they've had a franchise. I don't see it. I don't understand it. But what are you hearing, and what are your thoughts on it?
Well, I think, first of all, I think it's important, Chase, to recognize that the NHL is saying that we're all getting way too far ahead of ourselves. And that might be true. But, you know, I do think, like, I think for this to even rear its head, it's somebody coming forward to the league and saying, okay, if I wanted to do this, what would have to happen? And the more you look at, like, I'm with you, Chase. This would be the third time Atlanta might have a team. You'd really have to convince me. You'd really have to sell me on this being a good idea. Now, one of the things they're talking about down there is that the team wouldn't play where the Hawks do, right downtown in Phillips Arena. They would probably be in a suburb called Alpharetta. Yeah. That's where they would build the arena. Again, I think you'd really have to convince me. You know, before we talk about expansion, I think we've got to know what Arizona's future is. Arizona is a team that has a referendum later on this year in the spring. And if they get their arena, or there's a local situation or a local solution, we don't have to worry about this. But if we get into a situation where the Coyotes have to move, I don't think this is an expansion question. I think this is a where are they being relocated to?
Right. And the other thing, sorry, Ellie, you cut out there.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say the other thing, too, that kind of stood out to me is that the NHL now sits at 32 teams. And I understand expansion is a great way to just put a lot of money at one amount of time into a league. But if they were to do this and expand two teams, they could tout that they're the first major league sport in North America to expand to 34 teams. Does that matter to Gary Bettman in the NHL?
No, I don't think that does. I mean, if anything matters, it's the fee, right? We're talking $500 million for Vegas, $650 million for Seattle, and, you know, what are we talking about for another city? That's, I mean, you know, it's like all the president's men, right? Follow the money. That's what I always do. You know, to me, Houston, I think the league has had some interest in Houston for a while, but I don't think a partnership with the Rockets is likely. They've met before. Like I said in the column, I've heard the meeting was underwhelming. They didn't seem to think that the Rockets were that interested in paying market value or really running an NHL team. If they had another solution there, I think they would do it. But the more I think about it, and I wrote it today, the city I wonder about is Kansas City.
Yep.
Like, you guys are a huge success story in the NHL because there's no other winter sport, right? At least big one. And, you know, Kansas City doesn't have one. They've got an arena there. It's an arena that is tied in with one of the league's big owners. If they had to go somewhere, I wonder if that would be the spot.
Well, and real quick, Elliot, you mentioned, you know, Quebec City, which is always out there, and then maybe a second team in Toronto or Ontario, somewhere in there. Do you think that the NHL covets that at all, or is, again, all about just where they think they could be the most successful?
Well, I know a few years ago, because I had a conversation with some people in the league, that the idea of a Los Angeles set up in Toronto, you know, Lakers, Clippers, Kings in the same arena, so you'd have Leafs, NHL 2, and Raptors in the same arena, that really appeals to the league, that possibility, because I'm sure it would be an enormous franchise fee. I just don't know how the Leafs feel about that.
Yeah.
I don't think they would like it very much.
Elliot Friedman is with us, Sportsnet 32 Thoughts podcast. The NHL GM meetings kick off next week. What do you think are going to be the biggest priorities and topics of discussion for the GMs next week?
Well, I haven't been able to unearth the agenda yet, but that will come over the next day or so. I think some of the things they're going to talk about is, you know, Carolyn, there were situations where players were being sat out before the deadline, like Jacob Chychrun in Arizona was basically sat out 3 weeks. I think that is definitely going to be a topic of conversation. Nobody liked that. I think Arizona, and just like, you know, Arizona has $30 million in dead money for next season against the cap. I think that's going to be an issue, although I'm not sure that's something the general managers can solve. I think that might come down to the owners about that. The other one I heard after I wrote, Carolyn, was there's a phenomenon with fights starting after clean hits. I heard some general managers don't like that. That they don't think a player who delivers a clean hit to someone should have to fight. And someone said to me today that they thought that that might become a big issue, and I think that would be a very interesting one if it was true.
And how would you govern that? Like, how would you try and cut down on that? More penalties?
Yeah, you can call. Well, like there is something in the rule book called an instigator, where you start a fight like for no good reason, you know, you can be hammered with the instigator penalty.
Right.
And I wonder if they'll just say that we want that called more often in that situation.
Now, I think the thing you need to find out, Elliot, on the agenda is what kind of cake the other GMs are going to get David Poile for his retirement.
You know, I got to tell you, I know he likes that restaurant right across the street from the arena, so they should find out what cake they serve him
and get it
there.
Delivered on a silver platter.
I love it.
Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet 32 Thoughts podcast. Always appreciate you for joining us. We'll chat with you next week, Elliot.
All right, good luck in the Southeastern Conference tournament there. I know it's a big deal. Hope it goes well for you guys.
It is a big deal,
That's
and
awesome.
We appreciate that.
Thanks,
Thank
Elliot.
You so much, Elliot. Always appreciate Elliot Friedman for joining us every single week. And again, we are here at Bridgestone Arena at Barrel House. Mississippi State leads Florida 36-26. The second half just tipped off. We'll keep you updated with all sorts of SEC tournament thoughts there. Caroline Willie DeMays, 125, 106 through the game.
John, where is Philip Forsberg at in terms of his process to try to get back out there and play? How close do you think he could be to a return for you guys?
Phil was really close about five, six days ago. But he's kind of stagnated a little bit right now. So I would say it's more than day-to-day right now.
There you go. That was John Hines on Robbie and Rex Road this morning. And a less than enthusiastic report of Philip Forsberg. And I feel like it's almost not fair to say that somebody is day-to-day when he hasn't been on the ice in nearly a month. You know, Philip Forsberg hasn't played since February 11th. And this is something that Willie and I broke down. But with what Philip Forsberg is dealing with, it's not something that you rush. You know, you have to give it its time. It's something that you have to, you know, you have to be hyper-diligent of.
Yep.
And just as frustrated as we are or Preds fans are about Philip Forsberg's absence and the question marks and the is he coming back, is he not coming back, he's skating today, he's not skating today, he's probably as million times more frustrated than any of us are. And my point was here, if the Predators were truly making a push for the playoffs, this discussion about Philip Forsberg would be much more urgent than the discussion we're having now. That if the Predators went for it, they stayed put at the deadline, and they were saying, you know what, we think that we can catch fire in the second half of the season, and we're making the playoffs this year, the conversation would be much different. But really where it is right now, you feel no sense of urgency to bring Philip Forsberg back. And that's no disrespect to Philip Forsberg. It's just the reality of the situation that the Predators are in right now. There's no sense of urgency of making the playoffs. And there's probably no sense of urgency for Philip Forsberg to be back here.
I think that I'll disagree with that a little bit. I think the players do have a sense of urgency. And it's a sense of urgency that they haven't had all year, which is part of the reason why the sell-off happened. And I think now that
in terms of the playoffs,
yeah, in terms of the playoffs, yeah. But I think now there's that. Oh, okay. Well, hold my beer. Watch this.
Yeah.
Which is great, and I love seeing that, and I love seeing these young guys step up and do something. Like Evangelista has been so much fun to watch, and you know he's riding a high right now because he's made his NHL debut. He had a 2-goal game. He's got 3 points in 4 games. I think Nick is going to be right in calling it that. You know, he's going to end up with a 4-point road trip, which is going to be fun. But I think that with and actually this just coming out right now, Phil Tomasino in tonight for the Predators, according to John Hines.
Okay.
So that's good.
Yeah,
that you're going to get him back. But I think I believe what John Hines said, that Phil was close. I had heard he was close.
Yeah,
and he had a setback, and that's the thing. It's
unfortunate.
Upper body injury. We know it's in the head region, and you got to be careful. And,
yeah.
And so you're
it's
right.
It's not something you mess with.
There is no sense of urgency to rush him back because you would like to have him back. I want to see what he looks like with Evangelista. I want to see what he looks like, you know, with these young guys. But if he's not 100%, if he's 99%, then you hold him out. And that's what I think that they're doing right now. But
and that's a comfortable position that they can be in.
Yeah.
They don't have to rush him in a very sensitive and scary injury because they've placed themselves in this situation. And I think it's a positive thing overall.
This team, to me, won. Because everything worked out how it needed to work out. They sold off some players that you hated to see go, but you got a good return for them. You got 13 draft picks that'll be in this building for this year's draft. And what is it, 26 over the or 23 over the next 3 years that you have accumulated? And so that's awesome. And you find yourself really in the same position that you were in before the trade deadline with less players, with younger players. And so if you get in, it's gravy. That's all it is. You're not going to get the number one overall pick right now. There's a lot of teams ahead of you in that sense. So just enjoy this ride. Celebrate David Poile. See what Barry Trotz is going to do at general manager. I do believe that there is a evaluation process that's happening with John Hines, you know, with Barry now taking over.
There should be.
As there should be. And so you let that process play out. But, you know, I look at it as if they make it, awesome. If they don't, understand the plan is working.
That's exactly how I view it. If you catch fire and if you find your way in the playoffs, well, great. You got the best of both worlds. You made the playoffs. We're going to get a couple playoff games in Bridgestone Arena. It's going to be fun for those young guys. They can ride it out. And great, you make the playoffs. That's never a bad thing. If you don't, well, when you sold off all of those pieces, my expectations kind of fell away. And I think a lot of other fans' expectations fell away, too. It's okay, your mind is focused on the future and not necessarily on just making the playoffs this year. And the vibe would be a lot different. Because I was listening to your conversation with Greg Wyshynski today, and he was like, yeah, if you make the playoffs, it's probably going to be another, you know, 2022 playoffs kind of vibe where you get trounced by a Colorado or a behemoth in the Western Conference. And maybe that's true. But the first-round exit is going to have a much different vibe than it's had over the last couple of years. It's
sure.
Fine, we had fun, but we're moving ahead to the future.
Yeah, if they get beat the first round, swept, whatever, if they make it, people are going to go, all right, whatever.
All right, cool. On to 24. Let's right. Enjoy the draft.
Right.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate is up next. What's up, Nate?
I have said this in the past, and I understand that even 5 years ago, the NHL is basically completely different when it comes to fighting. I wonder how far they can go before they start losing fans or the newer fans would become less interested, because this sport is so unique in that fighting is basically still somewhat expected, unlike, you know, basketball, football, baseball. Basically, the NHL, UFC, WWE, boxing are the only sports where you can fight and almost not be punished for it. How far do you think they can go before they start losing fans?
Nate, let me ask you a question. When you come to a Preds game, what excites you more? Seeing Michael McCarron drop the mitts and fight, or Philip Forsberg go backhand in between his legs and score a goal?
I mean, both. I guess, clip.
Right. But the point is they're exciting plays either way. And so if fighting went away completely, I don't think you're going to lose fans. You might lose. If you lose fans, I think you're going to lose the ones that just didn't understand the game to begin with.
Okay.
Thanks for your call, Nate.
Thanks, Nate.
I have the same thought. General managers have to protect their assets.
Agreed.
And if you lose one of your most valuable assets to a dumb fight
because
somebody just felt like fighting, well, then what are we doing? You know, this isn't boxing. If you want to see fights, go watch a boxing match.
Right.
Go to WWE. I'm with you. I think it's so fun. And Bridgestone Arena, when the mitts get dropped and the helmets come off and it's all right, like, let's get at it. Everyone's out of their seats. They're cheering. They're saying, go, go. Like, it is fun. I love to watch a fight just as much as anybody else might. But I understand the general manager's perspective. And I think fans also have to put themselves in the general manager's shoes of, yes, you're here to sell tickets. Yes, you want to apply to all fans. But also, that's not what this game is all about. You've got to protect your most important players. You've got to protect your most important assets. And this is a dangerous game.
Yep.
We all watched that Miami-Cincinnati Bengals game in the regular season of the NFL when Tua Tagovailoa fell to the ground. We saw what happened, and it was very scary what happened. I think that is one of the biggest fears of any NFL owner, general manager, coach, teammate, is watching something like that happen to their teammate, whether it's football, baseball, basketball, hockey, whatever it might be. You have to protect your assets there.
I'll say this, not to change the subject on you, but remember that 14-point lead that Mississippi State had?
Oh, they don't have that anymore.
No, they're trailing by one. Florida has come out with a fury in the second half, 13:29 to go in the game. They lead 40-39 here at Bridgestone Arena. I just turned around to check the score. I was like, what the?
Yeah, Florida up 40-39. We're almost at the midway point in the second half. All right.
Yeah, they can't miss.
Go Gator.
According to Twitter, Mississippi State can't make a shot. So, and there you go. Right. The prime example.
T's and P's to the Bulldogs.
Yes.
Let's get back to some of your phones. Phone lines are mobile. It's countyhanna.com, 615-737-1025. If you have a thought, Greg texts in and says, if all fighting went away in the NHL, would Tanner Jeannot have lost some of his value in the trade market?
Absolutely. Because teams know that, you know, he. That's why I thought he would have so much value at the trade deadline, because he can score. Yes, it's a down year for him scoring-wise this year, but he can help you offensively. He's got grit. He's not afraid to get in those dirty areas
he's
and take
bulldog.
An elbow. Yeah, he's a bulldog. You know, and he's not afraid. If he's got to drop the mitts, he'll drop the mitts. A lot of times teams want to fight him because they want to get him off the ice, and that because they know that he can hurt you in many different ways. Mm-hmm. So, absolutely, I think if fighting was gone, it would hurt his value.
Luke texts in and says, family has been season ticket holders since day one. I would certainly not be as interested in hockey anymore if fighting goes away. And I watch every game every year. Hockey is a game that should be policed by the players on the ice and not the refs or the league. I get it. Like, fighting is fun.
Yeah.
Would I be bummed if fighting went away in hockey? Yeah, I would, honestly. But I have to think about it from the general manager's point of view of protecting your assets.
And to Elliot, what Elliot brought up,
they're not going to do it with fighting with for good.
Right. It's basically just we also live in a in-the-moment time where, like Philip Forsberg, for instance, that wasn't a dirty hit. That was a freak hit that he came down funny and hit his head, but that wasn't a dirty hit at all. Mm-hmm. And the Predators wanted a fight. They ended up having the fight, you know, at the start of the second period. That's what he's talking about, getting rid of those instances where it's like
senseless
a guy didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
He just laid a really good hit down, and unfortunately the guy got hurt. And so that's tough to police, but I get it from that sense of like, now, if a guy lays a dirty hit, kick his ass. Like,
yeah,
I get it. That you
that's
get,
not going away.
No, you get what's coming to you. Like Corey Perry at the Winter Classic, when he laid one down on Ryan Ellis, he deserved everything he got. But if it's clean and it's just unfortunate, then I get it that you shouldn't have to fight.
Because you don't want it to get to a point where you have to do away with fighting
right.
altogether. I don't think any players want that, too. I mean, look at a Tanner Jeannot type of player. They probably love fighting, obviously. They've shown that. They don't want it to go away either. 615-737-1025. Another chapter in the book of Aaron Rodgers.
Are we
nearing the conclusion of the 2023 offseason Aaron Rodgers saga? We will get into that coming up next. Caroline Willie DeMays, 1025-106 through the game.
So, Shefty, what more can you tell us about this meeting that took place between the Jets brass and Aaron Rodgers?
Well, Phil, there are a lot of obstacles for both sides to get through before Aaron Rodgers winds up in the New York with the New York Jets. First and foremost, other than Nathaniel Hackett, the Jets offensive coordinator, Jets officials did not know Aaron Rodgers personally. He did not know them. So they had to have a meeting, which they did, out in California. The Jets are traveling back home today, back to New Jersey. They also have to figure out, and Aaron Rodgers has to figure out, whether or not he wants to play this upcoming season, because there are some people who thought that retirement still remained on the table as recently as this week. And then, if Aaron Rodgers does decide he wants to play and does decide he's comfortable with the Jets, then the Packers and Jets would have to figure out the compensation in a deal, and that's not going to be easy to do because the two sides already have had some preliminary discussions that haven't gone very far, very fast at all. So that's an issue. And then the Jets would need Aaron Rodgers to adjust his contract. So for all the Jets fans who keep texting me, are we getting Aaron Rodgers? Slow your roll. There are a lot of things to get through before Aaron Rodgers becomes the quarterback of the Jets. I keep getting these texts from high school friends, college friends. It's enough already. Please stop. They may get him. It is the most likely option other than Green Bay. There's not another team in the league that has a real chance to get him if he wants to play, but there are so many obstacles that both sides still have to work their way through. And always should add that more and more it's looking increasingly likely that no matter what Aaron Rodgers decides, whether to play or not play, whether to play with the Jets or not, it sure seems like Jordan Love is tracking to be the Packers quarterback in 2023.
All right, there you go. That was Adam Schefter on the latest with Aaron Rodgers. And look, I hear Adam Schefter. There's still a long ways away because the Jets are going to have to go through contract negotiations with the Packers. I can't imagine a world where the Jets are going to acquire the entire $100 million contract.
No.
Like, the Packers are going to have to eat some of that. but this feels like the closest that we have gotten, not just this offseason, but the last three off seasons of Aaron Rodgers. Maybe I'll play, maybe I'll retire, maybe I'll go somewhere else, maybe I'll stay in Green Bay. Over the last 3 years, this feels like the closest we have gotten to Aaron Rodgers no longer being a Packer.
Yeah, I would agree. And I love the line in there where Shefty says, Aaron needs to figure out if he wants to play next year. He went on a damn darkness retreat. I thought that's what he was supposed to figure out. Like, doesn't he know the answer to that yet?
That's the other thing.
Why does he do this?
You
got
to make up your mind, man. Like, you have to make up your mind. You have at least two, and then all the other teams in the league, but at least two teams that are fully invested in you, and the Packers and the Jets. You have to, like, make up your mind.
I think that's why the Packers are like, you know what, we're just ready to get rid of him, because this is what happens every year. He takes the offseason hostage, makes it all about him. Oh, you know, I'm going to take some time. I'm going to decide. I mean, he can't even say I'm going to take time and decide to my family because he doesn't talk to him anymore. So, you know, he's going to go in a darkness retreat by himself.
To talk to his chakras.
Yeah, do that. Talk to Pat McAfee.
Inner mind elves.
Yeah, see, take his drugs or whatever and figure it out. But it's like, I'm so sick of this. This guy is no doubt a Hall of Famer. First ballot. Won't take that away from him. He's one of the best to ever do it. But I get so tired of all the BS that comes with him and having to spend amounts of time talking about him and talking about, well, is he going to go back to Green Bay? Or, oh, could he play with the Jets? Yeah, but can he get along with the media? Can Aaron actually handle that? Are they going to be easier on him because he's a little weird? Oh, no, maybe he wants to go to Vegas. That fits even more. It would make sense for him to go to San Francisco. That's where he's from. Yeah, but they don't want to deal with this crap either. It's like,
Packers don't want to trade him to an NFC team.
Right. Packers don't want to trade him to an NFC team. So it's like every offseason. And guess what? What if it ends up happening, he's going to play for Green Bay one more year. I'm sick of it. Like, just figure it out so we don't have to talk about this anymore.
Do you think that Rant this time is legit? Is he actually leaving Green Bay?
Yeah, I do.
Do you think he's going to New York?
I think he ends up in Vegas.
Why?
Because I think ultimately New York, it may be, you know, the Jets might give him whatever he wants, but he's not going to have the full control that Aaron loves having in New York because of the media. Mm-hmm. He could get away with that in Vegas.
Totally.
Now he has to decide, is he going to be willing to work the contract out where they can go get him a defense? He's got the offensive weapons, mm-hmm. and he'll be with his buddy, you know, in Adams again.
Uh-huh.
And so that should make him happy. But I think, you know, he's going to have to give a little bit. But, yeah, I think Vegas.
I think he's going to be a Jet. I'm with you. I think that this is it. I think that this is finally, after 3 years of this Aaron Rodgers bullcrap, that it's finally coming to an end. Mostly because Green Bay, the last two times that this has happened, Green Bay has been overly accommodating. Green Bay has bent the knee. Green Bay has said, Aaron, we want you. Aaron, we'll take you back. Aaron, we'll do whatever it takes. We'll sign you to the big contract because the big contract will keep you here. And I don't blame the Packers for doing that. That's part of the business. That's part of protecting that team. But now they finally crossed a line where they're like, we're not doing it anymore. We're not going to stick around for this are you playing or are you not nonsense every single year. We're not dealing with your crybaby bullcrap every single year. And you know what? We didn't have enough wins to deal with your bullcrap
right.
This past year. When you were MVP and we were the top seed in the NFC every year, we were going to be NFC championship more often than not. We can deal with it. But we cannot deal with it anymore. So I think more than anyone who is more relieved that Aaron Rodgers has had meetings with the New York Jets is probably Brian Gutekunst and everyone within the Green Bay Packers organization, because they're just done with Aaron Rodgers. And I think it's getting out more and more that the Packers are ready for a divorce with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I mean, I think they have to be at this point because they're holding he's holding that franchise hostage too. I mean, if you think about it. Now they agree to the deal, that's on them, but you know, this whole, like, well, it's Favre all over again in different ways, but it's Favre and all over again of, I got to think about it. I'm going to retire. I want to play. I'm going to retire. No, I want to play. And eventually it got to the point where they said, like, dude, we love you, but we can't do this anymore.
No more.
But the difference is they knew they had a surefire thing behind him. They don't know that with Jordan Love.
But they need to figure it out.
Yeah, and that's why I would go ahead and make the move and just, you know, throw the kid in there and see what he's got.
Yeah, and where it's just cut the ties, be done with it. But I do think the conversation of can Aaron Rodgers handle New York, I think it's a pretty fair one. Because I watched like a bunch of things of Aaron Rodgers, his press conferences with Green Bay media or his conversations with Pat McAfee, and it's all a very holistic approach. Is calm down, you know, let it happen. It's going to be okay. That doesn't work in New York. You can't pull that in New York with that media. Whenever you have a losing season and you miss the playoffs and you're making $50 million a year, you're not going to be treated very well by the fans, by the media. And I know I've heard Withrow and Hutton go back and forth about this. Yeah. Of this is a different time. It's no longer, you know, you read social media, you see Twitter, you see all of the posts, you hear what people are talking about you on SportsCenter, on ESPN, so on and so forth. It's a different time. And I understand that sentiment of you can never really remove yourself from it. It's not just the New York media questions that you're getting peppered with. It's all over social media. And it's not just New York. It's every football fan in America. But I do think that there's a difference between reading things on Twitter from, you know, Packer fan Jim Bob 23 on Twitter versus getting asked questions directly when you're at the podium from people that you see every week. I do think that's a difference. And I don't think that crybaby Aaron Rodgers is going to take very kindly to that.
No, and he'll do what he always does and complain, and you know they'll just laugh at him for it. He can get away with it. That's why Vegas, you know, because Vegas is still a very new pro sports market. They're you know, they're kind of like here. They're not going to eat you alive.
Right.
Green Bay is the same way. You know, yeah. Green Bay and Milwaukee. So he gets away. He can get away with it. He's not going to get away with it in New York. And so that's one reason why they can get on the plane and fly out to him and all that, you know, all they want. If it was going to happen, I think it would have happened. I think he's coming back on the plane.
Maybe.
And I also think it's not done.
It would be a very, very Jets thing to sign him to all that money, dish out the picks to Green Bay.
Yep.
And he's one and done, and they go like, you know, like 9-8
right.
Next season. I think that would be so Jets. Classic Jets making Jets decisions.
Such a Jets move.
After having the offensive and defensive rookies of the year, and you sign Aaron Rodgers, and it's a massive deal, and you're stuck with him. You're just a marginal quarterback
but the
play.
The thing is, if he was all in, if he would just put his craziness aside and be like, hey, I want to go win one more Super Bowl, and even if he has the – you know, Brett didn't do it in New York. I'm going to go do it. Watch this. And he's determined. That would actually be a really good team. You know,
they have good pieces.
They have good young receivers. They have a pretty decent offensive line.
Really good defense.
Good defense. So, I mean, they could do all those things and be pretty good with Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback. But the fact that he can't get out of his own way is going to be what comes back and bites him.
Yeah. Let's get to some of your phones on this. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Jared and Dixon texts in. Says, wouldn't it be cool if Aaron Rodgers went to the Jets and Jordan Love took Green Bay to the Super Bowl and the Jets went to the Super Bowl and Jordan Love beat Aaron Rodgers in a Super Bowl? That would be a really cool scenario. I do think that would be a cool scenario. I don't think that would happen.
I don't know about that.
It would be a wonderful, very feel-good story. Greg Texan says, so the Vikings fans should be ready for Aaron Rodgers in 24-25.
I was just thinking that.
It's the Brett Favre retirement tour. Yeah, absolutely. Kevin Texan says, one could argue that the Daniel Jones contract is a bad one, too. I'm not sure I would have locked up with that dude for that long and for that much. I would agree. I think that Daniel Jones got a way bigger contract.
They didn't have a choice.
The entirety of his career has shown.
Yeah.
But they didn't have a choice.
They didn't have a choice. They're like, what do we do? Because they're going to – if they had let him walk – now, where I think they've messed up is they've prioritized him over Saquon, and, you know, that could come back and bite him. But if they had let him walk, they're going to end up with Jimmy G.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that's basically where they would have been.
And Brian Daboll has no commitment to Daniel Jones.
No.
He came into New York, and I think all of our mindsets about Daniel Jones was, this may be his last year in New York. And they may sign him to the fifth-year option, and then that'll be the end of it with Daniel Jones in New York. Because he hadn't shown any of us that he deserved that second contract. Brian Daboll steps in. They have a solid season. They make the playoffs for the first time since Daniel Jones has been the starting quarterback in New York. And Brian Daboll didn't have to stick with him. He didn't draft him. That wasn't his guy. But Brian Daboll was like, yeah, I want to move forward with Daniel Jones as my quarterback. They lock up Saquon Barkley on the franchise tag. That they want to run it back with that core that they had. So that was their choice. That was New York's choice. And I think that is more indicative of the quarterback market rather than what Lamar Jackson is demanding of the fully guaranteed contract. Let's not forget about that. It's not just dumb contract versus dumb contract or quarterback versus quarterback. It's Lamar Jackson wants a fully guaranteed contract, and those weren't Daniel Jones' demands.
Right, because he was realistic, and he has agents and people that know what they're doing saying, dude, you got to be realistic. Lamar is trying to do this, you know, with his little group.
And would Daniel Jones take a fully guaranteed contract? Absolutely, yes, he would.
If he didn't, I'd question what's going on in his head.
Who wouldn't? Matt Columbia Texan says, if Joe Namath is in the Hall of Fame with one Super Bowl, then Matthew Stafford should be in because his numbers are better than Joe's.
Yeah, I think
Matthew Stafford's are better than Joe Namath.
Yeah, I mean, Stafford's going to get in the Hall of Fame.
You think?
I think so.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because the numbers. And now he's got the ring. But the numbers are good enough, I think, to put him in.
I don't know. I just don't think I can go there. The one
it's
Super Bowl.
Because I think you're looking at it. You're not separating him from the team that he played on.
But isn't that fair?
No, I mean, it is what it is, but he still put up that, – that's my argument. He still put up those kind of numbers with Detroit.
Yeah.
Like, the dude's pretty legit.
I'm not saying he's a bad quarterback by any means, but Hall of Fame and legit?
Yes. I think he's Hall of Fame legit.
I can't quite go there, but I can understand the argument. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Things moving forward on the Caroline Million DMA's program might get a little bit testy, and it starts tonight. Chase, maybe you have to break up some fights between this show moving forward, and I'll explain why. Coming up next, Caroline Million DMA's 1025-106 through the game. AJ, 1025 the game live from the Rusty Nail on Friday, March 17th for the opening round of the tournament. Enjoying $3 two-lane beer drafts while watching some hoops during a St. Patrick's Day celebration. The Rusty Nail is located in Hermitage and provides a great local atmosphere with a large outdoor patio and volleyball courts, plus great drinks and great food, especially the wings. That's 1025 the game at the Rusty Nail at 4054 Andrew Jackson Way in Hermitage on Friday, March 17th. Doors open at 10 a.m. So, Chase, things might get a little testy on the Caroline Million DMA's program. You might have to hold some of us back. My LSU Tigers, Willie's Vanderbilt Commodores playing tonight. And look, I've expressed this. I love my Tigers. I love LSU. I don't care at this point. I mean, LSU won two SEC games in the regular season. We just barely scraped out a win against a below-average to really bad Georgia team last night. This is an LSU basketball team that's rebuilding. My mind is set on the baseball team. We're number one in the country. At this point, if we make a run, great. If we don't, that's fine. I think a lot of the fan base kind of agrees with me. So I'm not really – I want good things for my team. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Willie, on the other hand – Willie's got a whole lot invested in this game tonight, in this tournament. Vanderbilt's kind of a bubble team. How mad do you think Willie Donick is going to be at me tomorrow if LSU beats Vanderbilt tonight?
Well, I don't think he'll be mad at you at all. I think
not even a little bit?
No, I think it's more of a jealousy thing of your team advances and his doesn't.
Yeah.
But I think it depends on how the game goes. How does Vanderbilt play? How does LSU play? You know, when they lost to LSU, I looked at it as Vandy kind of, you know, pooped the bed.
Pants. Yeah.
And he said, well, you know, they didn't play all that bad. I'm like, yeah, but it's LSU. There were mistakes that they were making, and it was one of those that they just had to come back to reality at some point. Like, I knew it was going to happen.
Right.
I thought it was going to be against Kentucky, but they had to come down to from, you know, back to reality at some point. So I don't think he'll be mad at you. I think he'll be mad more at the situation if it happens. But
understandably so.
I feel like I'm going to be mad, too, if they lose. Like, yeah. I mean, come on. Vandy's got to do this thing. Like, I'm doing free and post for the Predators here so I can step out there and watch the game. So I need them to perform, and I feel like they will.
You know who else needs them to perform?
Who's that?
Jerry Stackhouse.
Yes, he does.
Jerry Stackhouse needs a win. Jerry Stackhouse needs to beat Kentucky. Jerry Stackhouse needs to make the NCAA tournament now.
I want to say this about him, you know, because I think, like a lot of people, I was at a point where I wasn't sure that this was going to work. You know, I was a little – he gets the contract extension, and I'm kind of like, okay. And it's not that I thought he, you know, was a bad coach or a bad, you know, bad person by any means. It's just I hadn't seen the results that I needed to see. The job that he's done this year and the fact that it has been with the handful of guys that he kind of started this program with. You know, and I put Liam Robbins, who was a transfer, but I put him in that too, that he's been part of this slow build, and it has been slow. He's been patient. They've been patient with him, and it's working. Whether they make the tournament or not, you cannot say this was a bad season. Like, they went on the run that they went on has been fantastic. And so he deserves the co-coach of the year in the SEC. He deserves the accolades that he's gotten. It's been a lot of fun to watch, and I hope they can keep it going.
Absolutely, and I wouldn't disagree with that. I think that he absolutely deserved co-coach of the year. But I think that there's two different kind of ways that you can look at it and two different arguments. In one side, you can say that this team had a really good year, and they racked up a whole lot of good wins at Rupp, against Tennessee, a last-minute Tennessee win, against Auburn. I mean, this team has racked up a lot of good wins, but there's also the second side of it is when you beat those teams, you need to pull away with it with something to show for it, especially considering the contract extension and how well this team has been playing, even without Liam Robbins, even without their big man, they've been playing so well. So I think that there's two different things that can be true.
Yeah.
This was a good season for Jerry Stackhouse. This was a good season for Vanderbilt basketball. It would be a disappointment if they fell short of the NCAA tournament. Both things can be true.
Sure, absolutely. I think that is the best way to put it. Both things can be true. But, you know, I don't – even if they go to the semifinals, I don't know if they're going to get in just because of how the committee looks at things. Now, they're getting some help, you know, because Michigan's out. Like, there's a few other teams. Wisconsin, I think, got knocked out of the Big Ten. So there's a few teams that if they lose, that's going to help them. And the further Vandy goes, the better it's going to be. But – you know, either way, like if they're hosting an NIT game, I think you chalk that up as considering where they were, that's a victory.
Well, let's pick some of these games.
Yeah, let's
do
it.
Got a few games left in the SEC tournament. Nick, hit it.
All right. Well, we've already talked about some all-important games, but let's start off with the Ole Miss Rebels going up against the Tennessee Volunteers. Tennessee is a 12-point favorite. Who do y'all got?
I'm going to take Ole Miss to cover.
Okay.
Ole Miss to cover, Tennessee to win. A 12-point, I mean, that's a really big difference. I understand Ole Miss parted ways with Kermit Davis. Yes, I have. But that's a team that caught fire after Kermit Davis got fired. And also a Tennessee team without Zakai Ziegler. I know they've been able to win games without him. But that, I feel like he is almost like the catalyst of this team that gets things moving. And I'm not going to count out Rick Barnes doing Rick Barnes things in March. I know
that's
it's not the NCAA
week. That's
tournament.
Next week. He does that
I know,
next week.
I know. I think Ole Miss is going to keep it closer than 12 points. I still think Tennessee wins and advances, but I'll take Ole Miss plus 12.5.
I will lay the 12.5.
Excuse me, 11.5.
Or 11.5, 12, whatever it is. I think it's 12 on Superbook. I'll lay the 12. Give me the balls.
Yep, and we are using these lines via Superbook.
There you go.
In case you missed it. All right, up next, we got the Arkansas Razorbacks going up against the Auburn Tigers. Arkansas is a 3-point favorite. A little bit of a closer matchup this evening. What do y'all think?
I think that Bruce Pearl is going to have some time for barbecues coming up in the next few days because I think Arkansas is going to win this one tonight. I will lay the 3 and take the Razorbacks.
I think Auburn's going to win.
Do you?
I think
they stay alive?
I do think Auburn's going to get a win tonight. There's something about Bruce Pearl. But I know, you know, Auburn.
There's a lot about Bruce
Pearl. There's a lot of things about Bruce Pearl. And this Arkansas team hasn't been incredibly consistent throughout conference play. They've been up, they've been down. It's been a team that I've struggled to put my finger on and it's a team that I've struggled to bet on just because I never really truly know what to expect from this Arkansas team. So I'm going to go with Bruce Pearl and Auburn. I think that they're going to be able to get it done.
I like that we're we're not all on the same page on this. This is good. This is a little friendly competition.
It is very good, nonetheless. All right.
You're good.
And in the main event tonight, the LSU Tigers versus the Vanderbilt Commodores. Vanderbilt is a 4.5-point favorite. Let's go, Stackhouse.
Give me the Tigs.
Of course.
Give me my guys.
I mean,
That's a head and a heart pick. Honestly, LSU is not a horrendous team.
No.
LSU is a team that has shown flashes of really good things. They've just never really been able to put all of those things together at the same time. They didn't even do it last night against Georgia. They looked really solid offensively, and then the beginning of the second half against Georgia, they couldn't stop a nosebleed. I mean, the defense just completely went away. I'll go back to a regular season game. LSU played Texas A&M. LSU had the most disgusting first half I've ever seen in the game of basketball. And then they came back and played one of the best second halves of basketball I've ever seen them play in this entire season. So they've just never really been able to put it together. Do I think they're going to be able to put it together tonight? I'm not going to count it out. I'll take LSU.
Okay.
I will take LSU. It's also a heart pick, obviously.
I'm going Vanderbilt all the way tonight. 4.5, whatever, doesn't matter.
You think they have a chip on their shoulder about LSU?
Oh, no doubt. I think revenge is on their mind. And Jerry Stackhouse coaches with a chip on his shoulder. I think he's preaching that.
Absolutely. And I wouldn't be surprised if in that locker room they're looking at it like, this is one of the teams that is keeping us out of the conversation. This is one of the teams that is, you know, holding us back. That loss to this team is holding us back from the tournament, and we're going to want to stick it to them tonight. So I am absolutely not counting that out at all.
Reports are the Vikings have received a trade offer for Dalvin Cook.
That could
be interesting.
All right, interesting. Absolutely. Today and tomorrow, tune in for SEC Men's Basketball updates on 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Toyota. Buy at Toyota.com. Ready, set, go. Get your Toyota today. Toyota, let's go places. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Stillman & Company is up next.
We out.